Was he very careful the way he spent his money? Sometimes people with wealth don't want to spend much. How was he in that area?
If he wanted a new yacht or he wanted a jet, he wasn't very careful. I want it. I remember he one time summons me to buy him a new Cadillac. This new Cadillac Eldorado came out. He had a friend through racing in Milwaukee that had a Cadillac dealership. He had specs that he wanted on that car, a certain type of interior and wheels and things that wouldn't interest me. But he wanted me to fly up and get that car, pick it up for him. They were going to ship it over from Detroit to Milwaukee to his friend and drive it back to Tulsa, and I did that. Never asked what it cost. That was not important. Just getting what he wanted was important. Now, you're not going to break him on a car, but he never even asked. Just go get me that car. A boat or yacht, basically the same thing. He never had a huge yacht, but paying for it wasn't a problem, and paying for a crew was not a problem. Just get it done. That was his attitude. Now, on the other hand, I always had this situation with him. If you're traveling with him, and I did, all around Europe and the Mediterranean and the Caribbean, Bahamas, he would never pick up a check. And he always had a large number of $100 bills in his wallet and a stash of credit cards. But when the check would come, he'd just bow his head. It was my responsibility to pick up that check. Now, he knew I was putting it on an expense account, but he would not pick up a check. And he could put it on a credit card. But getting him to pay cash for something would be like pulling a tooth. Not going to part with a dollar bill. And I never understood that.
What kind of a business mind was he? Now, did he learn business from his father so that when he started his own oil company, he was primed and ready to go? Was he a natural businessman?
I think he learned from his father.
Do you think the wealth he came from helped him in his own business?
Yes, I do. He had a good start.
So he was able to use family money to start up?
Yes.
But then certainly that company would have failed if he hadn't managed it properly.
That's correct. But it grew.
Okay, talk to us about the growth of that company.
We had a lot of production in Kansas, which was relatively shallow production, inexpensive wells. 3,500-foot well in Kansas was a deep well. And we had a lot of wells up there that were in the 2,000, 2,500-foot well. Those were not all that expensive. And we had some production in Oklahoma. Probably the max depth was 6,500 feet. We ventured into southern Arkansas, right on the Louisiana line, and hit the biggest thing we'd ever hit called the Walker Creek Field. And that was 11,000 feet. That was a lot more expensive, but it was prolific.
Would he be known as a wildcatter?
Yes.
Now, his father was not a wildcatter.
Oh, no, his father was a wildcatter.
Okay, because the information I had read, his father wasn't a wildcatter, but he'd go in and buy leases on land that had been explored. And that's not true.
Well, he would do that where he could, but there are not that many available.
So you had to be
a wildcatter.
Explain the word wildcatter to those who may not know that word.
Well, that's when you explore for oil and gas in a virgin area. Now, you try to get as close in to proven production as you can, but the competition for those leases are so great that if you're going to stay in the oil business, you're going to have to wildcat. You're going to have to come up with prospects, which you do through geology. Your geologist will pinpoint as close as possible to where he or she thinks there is oil production available. You don't know until you drill the hole whether there's oil or gas down there, and that's what wildcatting is.
Were there any exploration or wildcatting that it was a major failure, dry holes?
Oh, always. You're going to have dry holes. That's just part of the business.
And he knew that, and that didn't affect him at all.
Well, it affects you, but you know that you're not going to hit every well.
Did he like to visit the oil sites himself?
He did. I took him on numerous occasions to visit our production facilities.
And he enjoyed being around that?
He enjoyed that.
What about the roustabouts that work there? Did he talk to them?
He would talk to them. I would introduce him to them, and, of course, they really enjoyed that. But he enjoyed wearing his blue jeans and his khaki shirt and getting out in the field.
His father was kind of that way,
right,
too, wasn't he?
He was.
It sounds like H. Allen
patterned his life. I think he wanted to, sort of after his father.
Their personalities were fairly similar because they were quiet, reticent to be public.
That's right. Their personalities were very similar.
H.A. probably was not in the social scene of this town?
Not in the social scene at all. He had two or three close families that he would do things with. For example, he enjoyed my wife very much. She would cook for him.
Your wife's name?
Sandy. He would request, if we're going to have a little dinner party for he and Mrs. Chapman and some of their friends, that Sandy prepare a certain thing. And it was simple little things that his cook would make any time he wanted, but he would never request. but he loved for her to make chili, homemade chili. And he loved for her to make brown beans and ham hocks and cornbread. And she told me one time, said, you know, I'll make him anything he wants, but that's what he requests. I remember coming in from the office one day, and his car was sitting in front of my house. And when I walked in, he's at a counter area in the kitchen. My wife is at the stove stirring something. I walked in, and I said, what are you doing at my house while I'm at the office? You know, you and my wife here together doesn't look good. He said, I'm trying to teach you how to make homemade mayonnaise.